From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin. In a few minutes, we'll hear from a kid headed to Harvard, a first for a tough Dallas neighborhood. First, though, after two New York City police officers were gunned down over the weekend as they sat in their patrol car, departments across the country and in North Texas are on edge. Richard Todd is president of the Dallas Fraternal Order of Police. He calls the killings gut-wrenching. He says that sort of violence against police is not the norm, and officers know that. But he says the recent protests and escalation of language against police is troubling for the cop on the beat.
I think the gist of it is a lot of officers that are out here, we know that that's just a few people, but the reality is that there are some people out there that they don't like police officers.
Todd says he sent a message to Chief David Brown today calling on him to put two officers in every patrol car answering 911 calls. He says that's been done before in parts of the city with higher crime rates and incidents of violence, but now he wants to see it citywide, at least until tensions ease.
And right now, everybody needs to calm down and look at the facts of what's going on and not take it out on anybody else. I mean, you know, this fear and this rage and everything just... If it continues, it's just going to get worse.
The Dallas Police Association, the biggest organization representing city officers, is telling its members to be extra careful as they stop at intersections, alert for possible ambush. Don't do paperwork in the patrol car while parked in a dark area. And don't assume because you're off duty that you are no longer a target. Quentin Neros is going to Harvard next fall, and that's big news at Conrad High School. He's the first student in the school's history to head to Cambridge, Massachusetts for college. Conrad is in the heart of Vickery Meadow in Dallas. It's the immigrant neighborhood that's been featured on KERA's American Graduate Series, Generation One.
Trying to get to college has been a major goal for me because I've always wanted to do something better with my life than what I've been growing up around.
A whopping 86% of the students at Conrad are considered poor and have limited English proficiency. Unlike many of his classmates, Quentin was born in the U.S. He's on track to be school valedictorian and a first-generation college student. As part of KERA's American Graduate Yearbook Project, he reads from his application an essay about meeting a childhood hero.
Seeing him come down the hallway was like being in a movie, only this was real life. I was about to meet my role model, Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson. This short half-hour meeting had an impact that gave me the momentum to overcome any obstacle to become an astrophysicist. I was first exposed to Dr. Tyson in a television show called Nova Science Now. I researched who this astrophysicist was and found that he was the director of the Hayden Planetarium in New York City. The fact that this intellectual giant actually responded to an email from a little kid over 1,000 miles away gave me a superb feeling. I asked him every question I had, with my mother nearby, smiling with pride. He proceeded to give me books, mostly written by himself, and put them in a cotton bag of his own. Included in this bag was his memoir entitled The Sky Is Not the Limit, Adventures of an Urban Astrophysicist. I got to learn more about his background and thought if he could achieve so much being an African-American male and coming from a poor neighborhood like the Bronx, then so could I. Seeing how far he came, relative to where he began, inspired me to overcome as he did. Living in these conditions, as I do, brings its own difficulties. Only 5% of all college students are African American males. The idea that, despite this staggering number, my role model could move on to become such a prestigious figure in the scientific community brings me hope. Dr. Tyson, in meeting me and in hosting television shows, showed me how to approach a person and educate them. I followed suit by volunteering at the Pearl Museum of Nature and Science, teaching children and adults alike in the expanding Universe Hall. I love lighting the fire of education within the hearts of everyone that I meet. That meeting was not simply a great experience, it was the passing of a torch. In passing that torch on to me, he astounded me with all its brilliance and inspired a love of helping people learn. This experience became a central part of who I am today and the great science communicator that I hope to be in the future to come.
A selection from one of the application essays of Quentin Neros, a senior at Conrad High School in Vickery Meadow. Quentin plans to study physics and eventually pursue a PhD in astrophysics. He learned this month he got early acceptance to Harvard, the only kid from a non-magnet high school in the Dallas Independent School District and the first in the history of Conrad. KERA's American Graduate Yearbook Project is produced by Diana Douglas. Forget wonderful, a lot of people. This is the most stressful time of the year. With long shopping lists, travel headaches, endless sweets, and family get-togethers, the holiday season can be tough. Hal Barkley runs the Counseling and Dispute Resolution at SMU's Simmons School of Education and Human Development. He tells KERA's Jeff Whittington there are ways to survive the final stretch of this year's holiday sprint.
Hal Barkley, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about dealing with family. Everybody has the in-law or maybe even the parent with opposing political views.
Yes.
How do you deal with this?
A lot of times there are some families that say we're not going to talk about politics, you know, during the holidays. But I think another way to approach it is to, you know, learn to listen respectfully to your in-laws, whether it's an uncle or a brother or a sister or whatever, a parent. And as long as you respectfully, you know, state your own opinions and don't go into attack mode, then that usually helps you get through the holidays.
And respect might come in handy if you're visiting someone's house and it's full of people, mm-hmm. or if everybody's staying at your house too, right?
Yeah, I think what happens in when you have the big groups there, sometimes we all get a little claustrophobic, or we get to the point where we think I've got to take a breather. And so in my family, the way we deal with that, I think, is to just to go for a walk, you know. Maybe get Uncle Joe or Aunt Susie and say, oh, let's go, you know, walk around the block or walk up to the park or whatever.
Exercise is an important stress reliever mm-hmm. for many, but our routines get knocked out of whack.
You know, I'm taking a whole nother approach to this for me this year. I've decided that, you know, I'm not going to hold myself to my structure that I try to have during the year in terms of exercise. But I think to completely stop, you know, would not work for me. And I don't think it works for most people, especially considering the amount of food intake and drink intake that we have during these days.
Well, yeah, and should we give ourselves a little bit of wiggle room on the diet as well? Cookies and candy are everywhere at work, at home. How do we deal with that?
We still have to modify what we eat, but at the same time, this is a special time of the year, and so enjoy that. Like when I left this morning and I was walking out the door and my wife said, you know, there's one piece of fudge left in this tin here. Why don't you finish this off? I've got to wash it. You know, any other time, she wouldn't have done that and I wouldn't have taken it. But I thought, you know, it's the holiday season. And so I took it. I ate it on the way down here and I'm better for that piece of fudge I had, I think.
Many of the things we've talked about are solid, common sense approaches to the holiday season. Is there one piece of advice, maybe out of left field, that might help someone dealing with stress this season?
Most of us, when we get together with our families, everybody kind of goes back to the way it was when we were little children growing up or adolescents or whatever. And that's okay. We can go back and we can laugh about some of those things. But sometimes we pigeonhole people in roles in the family that really we've left those behind. We've moved on to something else. And so we have to be cognizant of that about our other family members as we're dealing with them. But more than that, I think we have to make sure that we take care of ourselves in that regard. And so we talk to a brother or a sister, and we say, you know, when you bring up that incident that happened when I was 13, it's, you know, it's a little bit painful for me, and I don't mind talking with you about it, but let's not make it part of the social gathering around the Christmas tree or whatever.
Hal Barkley is a licensed therapist and counselor. He's also chair and professor of counseling and dispute resolution at SMU's Simmons School of Education and Human Development. Hal Barkley, thanks again for taking the time.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin.